Parshas Chukas on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first day of the month of Nisan, when the Mishkan was finally complete and the Shechina came down to rest in it, Hashem taught Moshe many mitzvahs. One of them is the mitzvah about Para Aduma, the red cow. And that's the mitzvah that this parsha begins with. Hashem taught Moshe the many laws as how a person becomes tamei and how he can later become clean, either by going to a mikveh or in a live spring and so on. Hashem also taught Moshe about the different karbanos that sometimes have to be brought in order that a person should become clean. Now, when Hashem taught Moshe that a yid becomes tamei by touching a dead body, Moshe asked Hashem, how does a yid get clean from this kind of tumah? And Hashem did not answer his question. Moshe's face darkened with pain and shame. Yes, there can be no greater pain for a Talmud Chacham, whose whole life is in order to learn more and more Torah. And now, when he wants to know the answer to such an important question, and Hashem didn't tell it to him, Moshe was in great pain. Later on that day, when Moshe and Aaron were together, Hashem began speaking to both of them and explained them that if someone became tamei by touching a dead body, he is to be sprinkled with a special mixture of water and ashes from a red cow. Yes, it was then that Hashem taught Moshe and Aaron all the laws about the Para Aduma. Now you may ask, why didn't Hashem answer Moshe's question the first time? The answer is because Hashem did this as a kindness to Aaron. When Hashem did not answer Moshe, Moshe was very ashamed for Aaron's sake. Moshe thought that there is no way that a person who became tamei from a dead body will become clean, and this is all because of Aaron. Because Aaron had to do with the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. And as our Chachamim tell us, that by Matan Torah, when Hashem gave the Yidden the Torah, Hashem purified them, cleansed them, healed them. The Yidden were not tamei anymore. The Yidden had no sicknesses, no diseases. Even someone who was crippled was healed. And Hashem even took away the Malach HaMaves. That angel that takes away the neshama of a person, Hashem took it away. And the Yidden were supposed to be able to live forever. It was only after the sin of the golden calf that the tumah came back, and the Malach HaMaves. And that's why, when Hashem did not answer Moshe right away, Moshe thought, it's all Aaron's fault. Because Aaron had to do with the sin of the golden calf. But that wasn't the real reason why Hashem did not answer him then. Hashem did not answer Moshe because Moshe was alone. Hashem wanted to answer him together with Aaron. Why? In order to show that Aaron was forgiven for the sin of the golden calf. And that's why Hashem waited until Aaron was together with Moshe. Then he spoke to both of them, teaching them the laws of the Para Aduma and how it purifies a yid who became tamei by touching a dead body. Now, what is a Para Aduma? And where did the Yidden get it from? Well, a Para Aduma means a red cow. It must be completely red. If even two hairs are of another color, it cannot be used for the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. The Torah also says that the cow must never have been used for any kind of work at all. It must also be perfect without a blemish, just like a carbon. The Torah also says that the Parah Aduma must be bought with the money that comes from all the Yidden. That is, from their half shekel that they give once a year for the Karbanos Tzibur, for the communal sacrifices. It's from that money that the Parah Aduma should be bought. Now, to find such a perfect red cow was not an easy job. In fact, our Chachamim tell us a story that happened in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. The Yidden were searching everywhere for a completely red cow. Finally, the Sanhedrin found out that there was a red cow owned by a certain guy, a non-Jew. The Sanhedrin then sent messengers to try to buy it. When they came to the owner said to them, "For a good price, I'm willing to sell the animal. Give me 400 gold pieces." "You shall have them. We will be right back with the money." When they came and told the Sanhedrin how much money they needed, the Sanhedrin gave them the 400 gold pieces. But meanwhile, the guy told his friends about the sale of the red cow, and he found out that it's very rare to find such an animal, and that his red cow is very precious. When the guy heard about this, he waited for the messengers from the Sanhedrin to come back to him. When they came, the guy said, "I have changed my mind. I'm not selling my cow." "But we are willing to pay a higher price." "Do you want another 5 gold pieces?" "I won't sell it." "Well, then we'll give you 10 more gold pieces." "You cannot have it." "We will pay you 20 extra gold pieces." "Out of the question." The members of the Sanhedrin raised their offer until the man finally agreed to sell it to them for an additional 100 gold pieces. That means altogether 500 gold pieces. Some Chachamim say that they agreed upon paying an additional 1,000 gold pieces. The Chachamim told the guy that they're going to come back tomorrow with a full amount of money to get the animal. Now, after they left, the guy laughingly said to a neighbor, "Do you know why the Jewish people insisted on buying this cow? Because they need it for their religious things. Because this cow was never used for any kind of work at all. But I will play a little trick on them." That night, the Rasha took his red cow and put a yoke on it and made it do some work in the field. He plowed with it. The next morning, the Chachamim came back with the money. But before paying, they checked over the animal to make sure that it is 100% kosher for the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. They knew that a cow that was never used for any kind of work, that no yoke was ever put on it, you can recognize it by two things. Number one, there are two certain hairs on the neck of the cow that are straight, while it was untouched by a yoke. But once you put a yoke on the cow, those two hairs are bent. A second thing is, an animal which never had a yoke for work, their eyes are steady. And after it's used with a yoke, the eyes blink because the animal squints to see the yoke. And so the Chachamim immediately realized that this cow was used for work. "Keep the cow," they told the guy. "We don't need it." When the guy heard this, he admitted and said, "Blessed be he who chooses this nation." Now our Chachamim explain, why is it that this cow should be bought from the money of all the Yidden? The answer is, because the mitzvah of Parah Aduma is also to be a kapara, to bring a forgiveness from Hashem to all the Yidden for the sin of the golden calf. And just like by the Egel, the Yidden gave their own gold for the Egel, that's why the Parah Aduma, which is a kapara, an atonement for this sin, should also be from their own money. Now, what does Elazar do with the red cow? Well, the Torah tells us he should go outside of the camp, that is, outside all three camps, Machne Shechina, Machne Leviya, and Machne Yisrael. It is over there where he's going to do a special procedure, as we'll soon see. In the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen would do this outside of the Beis HaMikdash on the mountain which is called Har HaZesim, which is facing the Beis HaMikdash. Now once he gets over there, Elazar the Kohen is going to watch how they shecht, they slaughter the Parah Aduma. Elazar then dipped his finger into the blood and sprinkled it towards the Mishkan. He did this 7 times. Then Elazar would watch as they burn the Parah Aduma right in front of him. Everything gets burnt. Its skin, its flesh, its blood, its waste, everything is completely burned to ashes. And while it's burning, the Kohen threw into the fire a stick of cedar wood and a bunch of azev grass, which is tied together with a red string. Then, after everything is burnt, they take the ashes and divide it up into 3 parts. One part was put on the mountain Har HaZesim. Now, why was it put over there? Well, I want you to know that there wasn't only one Parah Aduma made in the times of Moshe, but rather there were another 8 of them made in different times. And that is, in the times of Ezra, when the Yidden came back from Galus after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and they wanted to return to rebuild the second Beis HaMikdash, Ezra made a second Parah Aduma. That's right, it was a miracle that Moshe Rabbeinu's Parah Aduma lasted so long, all the way until the times of Ezra. It was then that he made a second Parah Aduma. And later, in the time of Shimon HaTzadik, another 2 of them were made. In the times of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, another 2 of them were made. And from then until the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, another 3 were made. Now if you count up all together from Moshe until the end of the second Beis HaMikdash, you will see that the Parah Aduma was made 9 times. And the 10th one is going to be made through Mashiach Tzidkenu, who's going to reveal himself speedily in our days. Amen. Now you can understand why they needed some of the ashes of Moshe's Parah Aduma on Har HaZesim. Because before a Kohen Gadol would make another Parah Aduma, he would first have to cleanse himself, purify himself, just in case that he was Tamei. In order to cleanse himself, he needed some of the ashes of the Para Aduma. As we're going to learn later, that by sprinkling the ashes on the person who is Tameh, that makes the person clean. And that's why it was necessary to have one part of the ashes on the Har HaZeisim, so the Kohen Gadol, who's going to make the Para Aduma in the future, should be able to purify himself through those ashes. Now that was only one part of the ashes of the Para Aduma from Moshe. And what's about the other two parts of the ashes? Well, the second part was placed in the part of the Beis HaMikdash which is called Chel. That is, right outside the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. What was it put there for? It's because Hashem said that it's a mitzvah that the Yidden should have l'mishmeres. It should be for a safekeeping. Yes, Hashem wants that one portion of the ashes should just be there for all generations to come. And the third portion of the ashes should be divided up among all of the Kohanim who are working in that week in the Beis HaMikdash. As we know, there were 24 groups of Kohanim. Each group would work in another week in the Beis HaMikdash. So they would divide up the third portion of ashes among those Kohanim in order that they should be able to use it for anyone who was Tamei and needs those ashes to become clean. And now, the Torah tells us something very, very interesting. That anyone who was involved with either burning this red cow, or gathering the ashes, or the Kohen who threw the stick and the azev grass with the red string into the fire, they all become Tamei. That's right. They're working on a Para Aduma which is going to make all the Yidden clean. And what happens to themselves? They become Tamei. They don't become as Tamei as someone who touched the dead body, but they're still Tamei, and they have to dip themselves in a mikveh, and then they wait until the evening, and then they are clean. Yes, this is quite strange, that the same people who are making the Para Aduma for others to become clean, they themselves become Tamei. In fact, that is the reason why at the very beginning of this parsha, the Torah says, Zeis Chukas HaTaira. This is a chayk. That means it's a mitzvah that we do only because Hashem said so, not because we understand. There are some mitzvahs that we understand very well why to do them, such as the Mishpatim. Mishpatim means like not to steal, not to kill, to be nice to one another, kibud av va'em, honoring your parents. Those are mitzvahs that we understand very well why we should keep them. Then there are certain mitzvahs which are called eidos, testimonial. They are in order to remind us of certain great things that Hashem did for the Yidden, such as making the Seder Shel Pesach, eating matzah and maror. That is in order to remember that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim with great wonders. On Sukkot, we eat in a sukkah in order to remember that Hashem surrounded the Yidden with the clouds of glory throughout their entire journey through the Midbar. Also, the mitzvah of Shabbos reminds us that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. These are all mitzvahs which are called eidos, witnesses. They testify to things that Hashem did for the Yidden, or the mitzvahs that we do to show our belief in Hashem, such as the mitzvah of tzitzis, that reminds us of the 613 mitzvahs, the mitzvah of mezuzah, that reminds us that the house and everything that's in the house belongs to Hashem, The mitzvah of tefillin that reminds us that Hashem is the master and ruler of the entire world. And then there are the mitzvahs which are called chukim. Chukim mean mitzvahs that we don't even understand why we should do it. We're doing it only because of one reason, because Hashem said so. There are some more examples of chukim, like the mitzvah of shapnez, not to put wool and linen together in the same garment. Even though we're allowed to wear wool, and we are allowed to wear linen separately, but to put it together in the same garment, they should be sewn together? Or even one thread of wool in a linen garment? That is an avera. Why is it so? It's a chayk. That's what Hashem said. The same thing is with milk and meat. Milchiks and fleishiks. You're allowed to have milk separately and meat separately. But to mix them together, that's a sin. Why is this so? Again, this is a chayk. We do this mitzvah just because Hashem said so. And that's why by Para Aduma it says, Zeis chukas ha-taira, that this is a chayk, a mitzvah that we cannot understand at all, but we're doing it just because Hashem said so. That's right. We can't understand why someone who's burning the Para Aduma or gathering the ashes of the Para Aduma should become tamei, while the one who is sprinkled with the Para Aduma ashes becomes clean. This is a chayk, a mitzvah that we do only because Hashem said so. Now, there are certain details of this mitzvah that Achachamim explain why it was done in a certain way. First of all, why a cow and not another animal? Because this reminds the Yidden of the sin of the golden calf. Looking at the cow, the Yidden become humble and do teshuva. And since by looking on the cow, it helps them to clean their hearts from sin, Hashem commanded that the ashes of the cow would cleanse a Yid from his tumah. Now, why does it have to be red and not any other color? Because red hints at an avera. White reminds us of cleanliness, of purity. But red reminds us of sin. So when looking at the red cow, the Yidden are reminded of their sins in order that they should do teshuva. Also, gold has a reddish shine, and therefore the red cow will be for forgiveness for the Yidden for the gold that they donated to make the golden calf. Now, why does the cow have to be perfect? Since it's not going to be a real carbon, why does it have to be perfect without a blemish? This hints to us that before the Yidden sinned with the golden calf, they were perfect, because they just received the Torah. But when they made the calf, they lost their perfection. And why is the cow burned? Again, it reminds the Yidden of the golden calf, which was also burned by Moshe. And why are wood from a cedar tree and an azev bush thrown into the fire? Well, the cedar is the highest of the trees, and the azev, the lowest of the bushes. This is to teach us, a person who purifies himself is reminded that he should always be humble in order to do teshuva. It is better to feel humble like the azev bush than haughty like a cedar tree. And what do we learn from the fact that anyone who is involved in preparing the Para Aduma becomes tamei? Since the red cow reminds us of the sin of the golden calf, we learn that anyone who has to do with idol worship becomes tamei. Our Chachamim tell us, if we take a look in Chumash Bereishis, we see that when the three heavenly guests visited Avraham, he ran and slaughtered a calf for them. As a reward, his children received the mitzvah using a cow, the Parah Aduma. When Avram was begging Hashem not to destroy the wicked people of Sodom, what did Avram say to Hashem? I'm really not allowed to argue with you, Hashem, because Anochi Afar Va'efer, I am only dust and ashes. Yes, Avraham was so humble that he always felt himself as if he's only dust and ashes. And Hashem said, because of your great humbleness, I will give your sons a mitzvah with ashes. That is, the ashes of the Parah Aduma. Because they fulfill this mitzvah, I will forgive their sins. Now the Torah tells us that once they have the ashes of the Parah Aduma, if it's needed for anyone who is tamei, they should mix it with water in a special vessel. Once it's mixed with water from a live spring, then they can sprinkle it on a person who is tamei. And here again our Chachamim tell us that this is as a reward for Avram, for telling the three guests, let some water be brought to wash your feet. Therefore Hashem gave Avraham's descendants a mitzvah with water, the ashes of the Parah Aduma that are mixed with water. Yes, because Avraham Avinu did so many great mitzvahs, Hashem rewarded his children with wonderful mitzvahs, such as the mitzvah of Parah Aduma. Now the Torah tells us that not only a person who touches a dead body becomes tamei, but even someone who walked into a tent in which there was a dead body, he also becomes tamei. And anything that's in the tent also becomes tamei. Let's say pots or pans, dishes, anything that's in the tent becomes tamei. There is one exception. A vessel that's made out of earthenware, like clay, if it is sealed from the top and no air allowed to go into it, then this vessel does not become tamei. But all other things become tamei even if it's sealed. Now how long does it stay tamei for? For 7 days. And how do they become clean? Well, you know already. By using the mixture of the ashes and water of the Parah Aduma and sprinkling it on the person or on the vessels. The Torah says that they have to be sprinkled on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. And on the 7th day, the person will also dip himself in a mikveh, and then in the evening he becomes clean. Now, as we learned before, the mitzvah of Parah Aduma was taught to Moshe and Aaron on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That was the day that the Mishkan was completed and the Shekhinah came down to rest in it. And it was on the following day, on Beis Nisan, when they actually burnt the first Parah Aduma. Now this all took place almost 1 year after the Yidden left Mitzrayim. And now the Torah is going to tell us about the passing away of the great Tzaddikus Miriam. During the 40th year of the Yidden traveling in the Midbar, 3 great people passed away. First, Miriam, the great Tzaddikus, she passed away on the 10th day of Nisan. Several months later, on Rosh Chodesh Menachem Av, her brother Aharon HaKoyen passed away. And then, about a half a year later, her other brother, Moshe Rabbeinu, passed away on the 7th day of Adar, which was a little bit more than a month before the Yidden entered Eretz Yisrael. The Torah tells us that when the Yidden came to the wilderness of Tzin, that's when Miriam passed away. Miriam had taught and guided the women, just as Moshe and Aaron guided the men. And she was one of the seven known prophetesses. Miriam passed away without pain. The Shekhinah revealed itself to her. And that's the way her neshama joyfully went back to its source, to Hashem. This is called Misas Nishika, passing away by a kiss of Hashem. That means that Malach HaMavis has nothing to do with this. The neshama returns to Hashem directly because Hashem himself takes the neshama back. And as we're going to learn later, also Aaron, and later Moshe, passed away in the same special way. Our Chachamim tell us, why did the Torah put the story of Miriam's passing away right near the mitzvah of Parah Aduma? In order to tell you that just like Karbanos bring about a forgiveness for the Yidden, so too does the passing away of the Tzaddikim. Now, as soon as Miriam passed away, Hashem caused the well of Miriam to disappear for a short time, so that the Yidden would realize that their well of water came to them only because of the schus, the merit of Miriam. Yes, all the 40 years that the Yidden had water from that special rock was all in the merit of Miriam, because she was such a great tzaddikus. Yes, the three special things that the Yidden had in the Midbar, the man in the schus of Moshe, the anane hakavod, the clouds of glory in the schus of Aharon, and the water in the schus of Miriam. And as our Chachamim tell us, these are the three pillars upon which the world stands, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Moshe is Torah, Aharon is Avodah, and Miriam is Gemilas Chasadim. We know how Moshe is Torah, because he's the one who taught the Yidden Torah. And therefore it was in his schus that the Yidden got the man. And therefore they did not have to do any work. They were able to spend the entire day learning Torah. And by eating the man, it also made them holier to understand the Torah better. Aaron was the one who did Avodah. That's right. The Avodah, the holy work in the Mishkan, mainly through the Karbanos, which brought the Shekhinah down to the Yidden. And that's why the clouds of glory were given to the Yidden in his chus, because these clouds represented the Shekhinah that rested among the Yidden. Miriam was the one of Gemilas Chasadim. Yes, from her youth, she devoted herself to help the Yidden. Even as a small girl, she used to help her mother as a midwife, and she used to bring food to the poor families. And because of her kindness, Hashem gave the Yidden water, which is such an important thing for the Yidden. Now, how did the Yidden get the water from the well of Miriam? Well, this miraculous water-giving rock was always there in the Midbar with the Yidden. Whenever the Yidden stopped off at a place, it rested in a high place opposite the entrance of the Ohel Moed. Each of the 12 Nesiim would come with his stick over to the rock. Then he would scratch a line from the well to his shevet. And then water would flow along the 12 lines to all the Shvatim, forming rivers between one shevet and the other. Each river was so large that a woman who wished to visit a friend from a different shevet needed a boat if she didn't want to get her feet wet. And then you know what happened? The water also made a circle around much of the camp. And wherever the Yidden would stop over, Hashem made a miracle that grass, trees, vines, figs, and pomegranates sprang up at its edge. The vines gave out 7 differently flavored grapes. The Yidden tasted in the water and plants that came from the well of Miriam the goodness of Olam Haba. Later on, they sang a special shita, a special song about this wonderful well. But now, after Miriam passed away, the well suddenly disappeared. Why did Hashem do this? Hashem did it in order that the Yidden should realize that all the time that they had the well, it was in the schus of Miriam. And now that it's gone, they'll realize how much they should appreciate the greatness of Miriam and would therefore mourn her in a befitting way. Now when the Yidden saw that they have no more water, they got frightened and worried. Moshe and Aaron, who were sitting and mourning for their sister, saw large crowds of people coming close to their tent. Moshe asked his brother Aaron, "What is this crowd all about?" Aaron answered, "Aren't the Yidden descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who perform kindness like their avos? They have surely come to us to be Menachem Avil, to comfort us." "Aaron, can't you tell the difference between a group of nice people and a group of people who are not so nice? If they would have come in an orderly way, with the elders in front, followed by the officers over the thousands, and then over the hundreds, and so on, you would be right. But look at this crowd. They're all pushing their way, the older, the younger, the middle-aged. They're not going with any order at all." Moshe's words were instantly proven true. The disorganized and excited group of people came right into the tent and began to complain bitterly about not having water. "Why should we suffer so much?" they asked. "You, Moshe, used to tell us that we are punished because there are sinners amongst us. They are the ones who caused the Shechina to leave. But now, the men of that generation have passed away already, and those of us who remained alive deserve to enter Eretz Yisrael. So why should we, our children and our cattle, pass away from thirst? The unending tests are too much for us to bear. Why didn't you pray to Hashem to bring us directly into Eretz Yisrael, rather than leading us around in the Midbar for 40 years? We would have preferred to be killed out together with Korach's congregation, or in the plague that came after it, rather than to die now of thirst. You are mourning for one person, Miriam. Instead, you should mourn for all of us, because we have no water." Now, even though the Yidden were so angry and were ready to stone Moshe and Aaron, Hashem did not hold their complaints against them. They said these words out of pain of thirst, and Hashem does not hold a person responsible for such words since he is in such great pain. Moshe and Aaron escaped from the angry crowds to the entrance of the Ohel Moed and fell down upon their faces and began to daven to Hashem. The cloud of glory appeared, and Hashem said to Moshe, "My children are suffering from thirst while you are busy mourning. Find the rock that was the well of Miriam and command it to give water, and invite all the Yidden and their animals to drink." Hashem said to Moshe, "The people will now witness a miracle that will make a Kiddush Hashem, will sanctify my name. Gather together the tzaddikim and great people right in front of the rock from which water flowed while Miriam was alive. Command the rock to give water for the Yidden once again. While standing with the Yidden in front of the rock, teach them a halacha, or some parts of the Torah. Then command the rock to give forth water. The zchus of learning Torah together with the Yidden will cause the rock to give out water, just as it did in the zchus of Miriam. Now you surely remember, this is not the first time that Moshe was told by Hashem to bring forth water from a rock. In Chumash Mois, in Parshas Peshalach, the Torah tells us that as the Yidden left Mitzrayim, even before they got the Torah, they came to a certain place, which is called Rephidim. And over there, there was no water. It was then that Hashem told Moshe to take his staff that was used for the Makos in Mitzrayim and use it to hit the rock. And then it's going to bring forth water for the Yidden to drink. It was since then that the Yidden enjoyed the delicious waters of the well of Miriam. And now that Miriam passed away, and the rock did not give any more water, Hashem commanded Moshe to once again bring forth water from the same rock. But this time, Hashem did not tell Moshe to hit the rock. Instead, Hashem told him to speak to the rock, command the rock to give water. The Midrash explains that this is just like when you have a little child who doesn't understand the importance of learning Torah. Sometimes it's necessary to hit the child in order to get him to start learning. After the child grows up, he understands how important it is to learn Torah. And then the teacher doesn't have to hit him. He can use words, because that will be more effective than hitting. The same thing is with the rock. The first time water was needed from the rock, it was still like a little child. Therefore, Moshe was told to hit it. But now, 40 years later, Hashem told Moshe to use a different way. Study some Torah with the Yidden before the rock, in order that it should give out water. Yes, now words are enough to bring forth water from the rock. Hashem explained Moshe, by speaking to the rock and making it give out water, it will make a great Kiddush Hashem. All those who will see the great miracle will learn a lesson that if even a hard rock obeys and becomes a well just because Hashem asked it to do so, we Yidden surely should always obey Hashem with happiness and goodwill. Now, even though Hashem told Moshe to bring only the tzaddikim to the rock, but Moshe, who wanted that everyone should see the miracle, gathered together all the Yidden, from great to small, including even the Erev Rav.